WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
That means it's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support chat by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code Rocketsock in the Fortnite chat, where Epic Games to account hashtag Epic Partner. Apparently, Babooni is headed to the Super Bowl. So that should be something.
WWE performer.
Yeah, so, hey. Let's go. But whereas tonight is not WWE night, it's AEW night, because Tim wasn't supposed to not be here. But then he got hurt himself, so he is around, but he's not on the show. Maybe he'll be in chat. I don't know. But it's AEW night. We have one Keishi Matsunaga.
My arms are up in the air and I am waving them around like I just do not care.
And we have the intern.
Okay, I'm only laughing because I heard the song and I was going to be like, alright, who has their arms in the air going side to side like the crowd?
It was me.
It was both of us. It's cheesy as shit, but okay. It's a fun song. You gotta at least give it that.
I mean, it was on the Surf Ninjas movie. What do you expect?
So yes, officially, this is where Tim was in. Officially, welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hi, chat. We're here. We're prepped with a full show. Because Brent actually had... So after the show last week, figured, what are we going to do? And then Brent ran it off a couple topics that he just has opinions on. And then he threw in the group chat a bunch more. So we're going
to
talk
all
about
it. We don't get to talk AEW much, okay? And there are opinions.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with like steering the ship down a little bit of a detour for a little bit.
So yeah. We're going to get into all of that. So let's start with the music we played coming into the show. back at, what was it, All Out, we saw the reuniting of Jurassic Express, Brent. Are we excited?
So, for those of you who may not have watched this or know what happened, Jurassic Express, the team of Jack Perry, a.k.a. Jungle Boy, who I guess the gimmick is back because the announcers were calling him that at All Out. They had a separation between Jack Perry and Luchasaurus, a.k.a. Killswitch. They both went their separate ways. Killswitch ended up back and forth with Christian and the Patriarchy, hence why he got the new name. And Jack Perry caused quite possibly one of the biggest flips in wrestling history and caused someone who we never thought would go back to a company to go back to a company. I think he was pretty much the impetus of it. Wouldn't you agree, Rock?
A little bit.
So Perry then embraced the heel aspect, became the scapegoat through that, joined the Elite, won the TNT title, then basically, for lack of a better term, fucked off for a while, smithed himself his own belt,
yep.
Went to Japan for a bit, and then somehow came back as a face. And we started to see these weird kind of promos or vignettes of Luchasaurus being brought back and kind of healed. And everyone was like, oh my god, is this Jack Perry? And my first thought was, I mean, it would make sense, but at the same time, it doesn't make sense because Jack Perry's a heel. So why are they going to create this, like, Dr. Frankenstein gimmick with him now? And then all of a sudden at All Out, we get the unification and the crowd goes nuts and they're embracing the fans and everything. And I go, oh shit, they just brought back Jungle Express in full. Okay. So with that, my question essentially was, we saw Jungle Express come back together. Jurassic Express. My bad. Jungle Boy, Jurassic Express. We've also seen the unification of another tag team that was split up for singles purposes in the Acclaimed. They're still begrudgingly together, but we've started to see them pair back up again. What does this say about their individual singles runs that they are going back to this? And does this mean that we're going to start seeing a kind of renewed interest in the tag division? Because I think we can all agree, for the past, I would say, at least year, it seems like they've really kind of stepped back from the tag division as a whole.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that was one of the big things for the company was, look at all the great tag teams we have, look at our great division, no one else has something like this.
We're back to what, 2022, 2021?
I would say 21, back when they had like the peak of it with like FTR and Proud and Powerful and the Lucha Bros and SCU. Like, they had a good tag division.
It's hard to have a renewed focus on a tag division when you have two sets of tag titles. You have a trio and the regular tag team.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of mixing and matching teams and trying to make them all seem important. And AEW's problem is making belts seem important, which we'll get to.
Yeah, they didn't help things this week.
No, which we'll dive deep into.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell you, hey, here's my question. It's hard to say who the tag team champions are at a given time, because if you don't watch all the product, you kind of lose focus on who certain champions are, including the tag champs. Who are the champs now? Brodito.
Yeah. Brody Lee and Bandito.
Brody Lee?
Which is also interesting.
Brody King.
My bad. We are back in 2020.
Well, and it's interesting because Bandito is also a double champion in that respect, because he's got the Ring of Honor world title and he's now a tag champion for AEW.
Yes.
In a random tag team that he joined with Brody King.
Because Buddy got hurt and Alistair went home.
Well, even that though, it's like, it doesn't make sense because Brody King has a very certain look, mentality, everything about him.
Yeah.
Bandito is not anywhere remote to that. And yet they paired them up and almost in a way turned them into a comedy team. Not full comedy, but like it's that weird juxtaposition of styles and like doing certain, you know, like doing certain moves that are going to get a cheesy pop from the crowd.
Yeah.
But I also know what you mean in terms of the tags, because it's weird when you see something like, you know, the Hurt Syndicate, who were just recently your tag team champions, but they're all portrayed as three individuals. So yeah. In theory, you look at that and you go, oh, that's a trio. Correct. No, wait, there's only two real wrestlers and then MVP, who I guess will wrestle should the circumstances call for it, like we saw at All Out. And now we've got the weird thing. Rock, did you watch Collision last night?
Brent, I haven't watched Collision in.
Okay, then let me explain something really weird to you.
Please explain so things.
You have the Trios champions right now, which are, do you know?
The Ops.
The last time you saw. The Ops, which is Powerhouse Hobbs, Joe, in theory, Shibata.
But he's and suspended, medically suspended?
He is not medically cleared.
Okay.
And then also, there's the issue of Hook, who was in the group, but got replaced by Powerhouse Hobbs, who became one of the champions in that respect, and has shown some hostility to being replaced. Right, Casey?
Yes, I saw that.
Not very happy with that.
Did he get injured? Or because seemed like he was gone for a bit.
He was first injured by Claudio. Remember, he was the first one to get dropped stomach first on the chair.
He was quote-unquote injured?
I think he was legit injured, but they broke him off for that, and then they had Hobbs fill in for him, and then it's like, oh, we can kind of touch on this hostility here as a story.
Yeah.
But even that has kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
Fast forward to last night, when the Ops, who are down Shibata, who Hook is in his own thing with Eddie Kingston as a new partner, apparently, your AEW World Champion! Adam Hangman Page comes up to them and goes, hey, I know you're in a bind. If you need someone to step in for you, I'm your man. So does that make Hangman Page now a Trios champion? And if so, if you're Hook, do you just stand there and go, what the hell, guys?
I guess that's kind of a wait and see thing, where like if they actually decide to defend the need to defend the Trios champions, or because of, you know, the state of AEW and how many titles they have, they can maybe kind of do a thing where they sort of put it on the back burner, and you know, there might be a few people who kind of scratch their heads, but I think for the most part they have so much other stuff that they can go to the well on, they could almost just leave it on the back burner for a time being.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, the Trios belts are not really defended all that often.
Yeah, so like, I don't think it'll be that big of a problem. I think if they just, because they're kind of embroiled in stuff with, why can't I remember the name of that crew? Moxley's crew, anyway?
Death Riders.
Yes, thank you. Death Riders. So like, I think the whole reason that they had Hangman sort of like throw his name in the hat with that is not so much wanting to help them defend their titles as much as wanting to help them against the Death Riders.
Hangman moved on from them?
Yeah, they're not really fighting the Death Riders right now.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe as the champion, he's fighting everybody that he's just being being a good cowboy.
But, I mean, that goes to a larger thing, though, of there's confusion also in terms of, like, what the arching storylines are of...
Well, yeah.
We don't really have anything for Paige. Paige is just taking on all challengers, and most recently he took on Kyle Fletcher because reasons. And that was your kind of
feud of
the pay-per-view.
Which also devalued the TNT championship, because you had the TNT champion lose to the world champion. That made no sense.
And then also, well, there's also the big thing of what happened yesterday in terms of Kyle Fletcher beat up his next opponent, essentially, Hologram. And they've been hinting at Hologram having another force coming in to do stuff, you know, whoever his big opponent from Triple or CMLL was.
Right.
But Hologram got jumped because the big thing was going to be Kyle Fletcher puts his TNT title on the line against Hologram's winning streak. one of them will not survive.
Yeah.
And Hologram got attacked, and Tony Khan then came out and said, well, Hologram is out for a undisclosed amount of time, but essentially significant, and this match is no longer taking place. We're putting Orange Cassidy in there instead. Because I think they realized they wrote themselves into a corner of, oh shit, we either have to take away the one interesting thing about Hologram, an undefeated streak, or Kyle has to lose the title. Because if you do a smosh finish with that match, people will call you out on it. Because it'll
I heard, he's hurt.
Yeah, I was going to say, he might just be legitimately hurt.
Oh no, and I understand that.
But in this case, it might be a good thing for the reasons that you just put forward.
But
yeah, it would be really awkward in that respect of like, we're going to have Hologram lose. Shit!
Or they put the belt on Hologram. Because...
Yeah, which Kyle would be fine.
Fletcher really... I don't think he needs it if you're going to actually make him a foot. Because here's the problem. When you put the TNT title on someone, you kind of lose track of that person.
I mean, fair.
If you want their stock to rise, you take that belt off of them. It's an anchor in the last 2 years, I would say.
I would argue even more so. The only person that really did anything with the belt was Cody. I understand Mr. Brody Lee won it, but it was all in a way of getting it back to Cody.
Christian did stuff with it.
Yeah.
Kind of, but...
He at least was on television making the belt seem relevant. That's kind of... that. He's the last one. Because you put the belt on Jack Perry, it got forgotten.
Yep, you put it on Daniel Garcia. People thought it was the pure championship.
Adam Cole, he had it for 3 months.
Relegated to Collision.
And there's nothing wrong with Collision, but Dynamite is your show.
There's nothing wrong with Collision except for the fact it's on Saturday nights, which is a dead spot.
It is, because it's not must-see television. And the numbers, despite what Tony Khan tells you, they're not up year after year. But we don't know. We don't know what HBO Max is telling us. There could be a million people watching. Who knows? But it's a sinking ship. It's an anchor. And you don't get elevated by holding that championship when it was originally at one point supposed to be what they want the Unified Championship to be, the second top tier title.
Yeah.
Because they want the Unified title to be what the world title is in WWE. You have the Undisputed title, which is their world title, then they want the Unified title to be the other belt.
Oh, the Unified title's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Boy, is it.
But the TNT title was supposed to be that. That's what was Cody's idea if it was...
It was supposed to be your 1A.
Yeah, but it's dropped to C or D at this point in terms of priority in the championship.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the Intercontinental title back in the day, which is, hey, it may not have been your biggest star, but this is someone that we put a lot of stock in that we think could be the next guy. You know, when you had the Ultimate Warrior, when you had Mr. Perfect, when you had those kind of people holding the IC title, it was like... They're strapping a rocket to their ass and are shooting them up.
And if you're supposed to be the TNT champion, make that show, whatever show they're on, a focus about them. Mm-hmm. If it's the Collision's belt, then they need to
main event the Collision, or at least be the focus of it.
Be the central character of that show. Be in multiple segments. Be the guy who opens or closes the show every single week. Well, make people tune in to see you there. And just there.
And I think one of the biggest problems about your current TNT champion, he's lost in amongst his own stable.
Yeah.
I get the fact of we want to have stables and we want this to feel like a really important group. Keishi, on a level of importance or like, ooh, they seem like I should take this group seriously. Where would you rank the Don Callis family?
I mean... From a standpoint, I guess it would depend on what you would define as a group in AEW. More than three is kind of, because like you've got your teams and you've got your trios, but some teams have managers, which I wouldn't consider trios, like FTR. FTR, there are three people involved in that whole thing, but I wouldn't call...
That's a tag team with a manager.
Exactly. I would say the Hurt Business is a tag team with a manager who every once in a while is going to wrestle.
Because you can say that about Stokely, too. He sometimes wrestles.
Yes. You've got trios, which are no more than three people, whether or not they have a manager or not. Same sort of thing. So I would say a group, at least as far as AEW is concerned, I would say it would be four active roster members or more. So then you have the Death Riders. They are a group. You have the Don Callis family as a group. I don't know. I guess you would call the conglomeration a group?
I would say so through your definition, because it's you've got the Paragon, you've got Orange Cassidy. No, it's more than that, because you have Hologram, Orange Cassidy, Mark Briscoe, Willow Nightingale.
Yeah, so
the Paragon. So you've got at least six people as part of that group.
Yeah, and then off the top of my head, I can't think of any other groups in AEW.
Shane Taylor.
But that's only three?
No, I thought it's Lee Johnson, Shane Taylor, the Infantry, and Anthony Ogogo.
Oh, okay.
Whatever the fuck the Infantry's manager is.
Yes, I missed that. Okay. I didn't realize, for last time I saw Shane Taylor Promotions was, there was three guys, so my bad. I guess they're a group. So I guess if you look at it in terms of just the groups in AEW, I would say the Don Callis family is probably two under the Death Riders, because the Death Riders are part of major storylines. They're profiled on TV a lot, and they're taken very seriously. The Don Callis family, in one iteration or another, or at least parts of them, seem to be involved in more of the regular programming than the conglomeration, whereas the conglomerate, I would say conglomeration might be three. So, I mean, if you look at it in that sort of sense, as groups, the Don Callis family is semi-important. Overall programming, I would say certain members of the Don Callis family are important / to be taken seriously. Because not every member is profiled on a regular basis, but like Okada, Takeshita, Fletcher, and then even then, it seems like the focus is more on the Okada-Takeshita sort of like uneasy relationship they have, where you can tell they're trying to one-up each other with the eventuality of them, one of them leaving the group and feuding or vice versa, whatever. There are a lot of members of that group that, are kind of, I would consider right now, the Don Callis family to be the NWO when they started to get too many.
Let
members.
The good times roll.
Jbariza Babe just subscribed for 45 months. What do you call it when a British policeman gets defeated in a wrestling match? A bobby pin.
Yeah, that's funny.
Thanks, Jersey, for 45 months. Appreciate it.
So I see what you're saying with that in terms of like where they fit in the hierarchy within AEW. I think what I was more alluding to was, so you have a group, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Don Callis family pretty much feels like we're going to take any heel that we really just don't know what the hell we're doing with and throw them in as part of this group.
Yeah, because it's like 2 years into the NWO where they're just like bringing in guys left, right, and center just for sheer numbers. But a lot of those guys aren't doing anything of importance in the overall programming. Overall programming, with exception of like Okada, Takeshita, and Don Callis by proxy, because he's kind of in driving that in one way or another, but I wouldn't consider them like one of the like upper storylines of the overall program. I would call them sort of middle of the road. They've got a lot of stuff going on, and I don't think they're giving them enough of a profile to like make me want to tune in every week to see where the Don Callis family is going or what they're going to do next. There are a lot of other acts that I am more invested in.
And here's the thing. So we're talking about a group being four people or more, according to the definition you put out there, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to read off names, and I want you to keep track of this.
I will try, because I know there are quite a few.
Okay, so Konosuke Takeshita.
Yes.
Kyle Fletcher, Trent Beretta, Lance Archer, Brian Cage, Mark Davis, Josh Alexander, Rocky Romero, Hitchicero, Okada, Wardlow,
So
that is the entire, and not counting Don Callis, that is the entirety of the Don Callis family. How many people is that?
Darn. 1, 2, 3.
12.
Yeah. And I would say 3, maybe 4 of them are getting.
Or worth a damn.
Well, I wouldn't say worth a damn because they're like, Josh Alexander is a good wrestler and if given a chance could probably do some things, but they're not really giving him a chance. I would say you have, you know, Fletcher's got enough of a profile, Okada and Takeshita. So like, not counting Don Callis, I would say 25% of that group is getting like good exposure. And then there's another 25% that are getting exposure by proxy by like, oh, we need groups because we need numbers because we're having an 8-person tag. Let's bring in some of these guys. While the guys you bring in are, you know, ones that are kind of getting a bit of a rub, but not nearly as much. And then the other 50% are doing things very sporadically. So I don't know if that's.
And I get that 2 members are currently hurt. Brian Cage, Wardlow. I get it.
Yeah.
The reason I say worth a damn is Okada, Takeshita, Fletcher, Alexander.
Yes.
I think you could put them throughout the card and you're going to get really good matches. You know, it's going to be worth a damn.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I said everyone else in the other respect is no offense to them. Trent Barretta had a run, but he was only really worth it in the tag division. Anything he's done as a single, horrible. He was given a chance and it fizzled. And I understand he's also faced a lot of injury.
Yeah.
I think you need to cut bait with Lance Archer because nothing they've ever done with him has ever worked.
Yeah.
You've tried to make him a TNT contender. You tried to make him a world title contender. You tried to make him a monster. You put him with Jake Roberts. You've done all of these things. And yet, anytime I see Lance Archer walk onto my TV, I go, oh God, this is going to be another 5-7 minute, like, waste of time.
In my head, especially for Lance Archer, I think he almost would have been better off staying in Japan.
Yes.
Because they're, and this is, I don't think this is a slight against Archer as much as this is a slight against how they book him. Because they're like, he's this monster. He's going to go out there and he's going to destroy people. But I would say 80-20, he's losing. So you can't open your mouth and be like, this guy's a monster. He comes out and he just like destroys people. But then you put
Everybody
him in any
dies.
Match. You put him in, well, that's, I'm going to put that aside because like, he is between a rock and a hard place of booking. If they booked him the way that he wanted to be booked as a monster and they gave him a chance to actually go out and destroy guys, it would be different. Like in Japan, him and Harry Smith, when they were a team, they were monsters and they got shit done and they beat the crap out of people. And like, he would walk up to people in the crowd and they'd be scared. He would walk up to the young boys and they'd be running away. That's how he should be booked. He's not being booked that way here. So while that is, I don't think that's as much his fault. If I think they gave him that sort of booking, he might have been more of a contender, but it's not working out. And I don't know if it's him who needs to cut ties with them because they're not kind of giving him the creativity that he needs based on the type of wrestler he wants to be. Or if AEW needs to cut ties with him because they just don't know what they're doing with him.
I think it's a bigger philosophy of they just don't know how to book big guys.
Yeah.
We've seen that time and time and time again. They don't know how to book a monster. They just, because they're so used to, we need big flippy spot. We need moments here. I don't know how big guy can do those things. But we've also seen like Brian Cage. They've given him multiple opportunities to try and do stuff. He's someone that probably should have been in TNA and other things because, well, he's a whole different amalgamation because of like what he used to be and what he is now and how he wrestles. And that's a whole different paradox to try and figure out.
Yeah.
Mark Davis is, I don't even know what they're doing with him anymore because it's like he broke away from Kyle Fletcher, but now he's kind of back to it. But he's someone that when you break up a tag team, he is left by the wayside.
Yeah, well, and his injury probably hindered him more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Rocky Romero, I hate to say it, he probably needs to go to Japan again. That's where he does best.
Yep.
Hitchicero, that always felt kind of weird, but I also understand in terms of like the CMLL connection and having someone featured in the group. Wardlow, we have to wait and see because this is his 14th group that he's been a part of. Yeah, and it doesn't help the fact that he just joined and is already hurt.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, things could have gone a lot differently for him if he didn't hurt himself. But we'll never know.
And the weirdest thing is this pairing or this welcoming into the group of Okada, your universal champ or your unified champion. Because I remember when it first happened, the storyline was he's not joining the Don Callis family. He's simply like Callis is just in his corner for this match because it's Kenny Omega. You were giving it like a little extra rub.
Mm-hmm.
And then the match ended and all of a sudden Okada is part fully of the family. And I went, huh? Like it felt like no offense. It felt like it was a demotion to Okada because it's like he was part of the Elite. He was part of like the ruling storyline. And then it was, well, the Elite went away. We're doing something else with the Young Bucks. Don Callis family?
Yeah, and there wasn't like, it was very weird how they sort of dissolved the Elite. It just sort of like, all of a sudden they were not together anymore, and it was very odd.
Yeah, it was, the Bucks were still doing the Authority thing, but Perry fizzled off after he lost the TNT title.
Yeah.
And again, he just kind of went away and became Jungle Boy again, apparently. And then, yeah, Okada, who was there the whole time, but just randomly was off on his own, got new music, and yeah, there was no explanation of like, okay, the Elite were conquered. It was just, well, I guess they're all doing their own thing now.
Yeah.
And as someone who watches it, you just go, wait, how did that was never explained. How did this happen? Why is he over here now?
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of continuity errors.
But yeah, it's one of those things of Fletcher being the TNT title holder, you feel like he should be the focal point of this group.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the unified title holder, which I guess in theory trumps that in the hierarchy right now, because it's technically three. But we'll touch on that in a minute. It's three belts technically, and then you have Takeshka, who was the first member, who was the crown jewel, and then you bring in Kyle Fletcher, who's been promoted as the proto star, you know, the young lion rising. And so it just feels weird of like, where does someone who's supposed to be holding like the number two belt in the company and the guy who's holding three belts, which is technically the number two belt in the company, where do they even sit in their own group?
Yeah, I think Fletcher just sort of got lost in the like weirdly appealing story that is Takeshita and Okada, where like Takeshita wants that title, Okada has it. Plus there's, you know, for those paying attention, there's that like Takeshita is like an NJPW outsider and is like trying to break into there, and Okada was like the NJPW guy for a time and who has now been sort of excommunicated from that company. Mm-hmm. I think he's not on the greatest terms with them. So like there's this interest for like I don't want to say internet wrestling fan, but like for people who are fans of like AEW and New Japan, there's a little bit more meat on that bone where they don't have anything sort of concrete going on with Kyle Fletcher right now. And I think that's part of the reason why he got lost in the shuffle, is because there's so much more of a consistent story going on between Takeshita and Okada, and they're kind of just like bouncing Fletcher off a bunch of different things that people are more invested in something that's being a little bit more long-term. And if they can find something long-term for Fletcher, then maybe he can kind of crawl back up, but it's a matter of figuring out what they're going to do with them.
Yeah, I think Fletcher's biggest problem, and we've talked about this with other people in other situations, everyone wanted to see Kyle Fletcher with a belt because he's the up and comer. He's, you know, oh, look, he's so good. He's such a good wrestler. He needs to be rewarded. And you put the belt on him. And the big question that I don't think Tony or the people that want that mentality is, now what?
Yeah.
It's one of those things like you got that moment where he beat Dustin and he got the title. And it's like, he got his first singles title in AEW. Isn't this great? Look. And it's all right. So what's his first opponent? What's the first defense? Tell me about that. And the idea behind it was, we'll get back to you. Like, we'll put him on a match on Dynamite against someone, and that'll be his defense. It's like, okay, but you're not helping things. If he wins that title, you should have at least
the next
a 3 month
lined
plan
up.
Of yeah. like, yeah, this is his first opponent, or here's the storyline. And I mean, I get the fact of they usually do, here's his opponent, and now we'll move on to the next opponent in order to have, you know, more defenses and more features and everything. But it also means we don't have a story for him, and so it just becomes random match.
Yeah. But I mean, and then at the very least, if you're going to do random matches with him as a TNT champion, switch it up of like, you know, him being like, I won this title and I will take on all challengers,
yeah,
but you can
do
it.
Do your invitationals.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it in a way where he's like smug and like, I'm so confident that I will beat everyone. I will put out an open challenge. And even if he doesn't win clean, that doesn't matter because he's a heel, and he can say that he's the best as long as he keeps winning that title, which will then draw up like, well, who's going to figure out how to beat him through all of the cheating and all that other stuff? So then it puts something behind it. It gives people a reason to kind of want to watch those matches, to be like, well, who's the next guy that's going to figure it out? And maybe have, you know, feed him a couple people just to get that thing on television, and then bring in a couple of like higher profile names that, you know, aren't going to be super hurt if they lose, but they can kind of like draw things out a bit. Be like, oh, I almost got you. And then, oh, well, if you think you won based on this, or they'd be like, we know, everybody know you cheated, give me another shot. Well, then yeah. that's a couple more weeks leading up to a pay-per-view for them. Even if it's like 2 or 3 weeks, and then he goes back to just like beating up random guys, that's okay, because like you plant that seed of, okay, they are looking for ways, there might be a guy who comes in who could potentially take it, as opposed to, well, he's got that title, they're probably not going to do anything with it for a while, so I probably nothing that I really need to worry about too much.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to build him up as one of these next big contenders. I would say that's why All Out felt a little weird for me, of, okay, he just won the TNT title a month or two before, and now he's going to be like, I'm going to claim my shot at the world title. It's like, you just took the nameplates off the previous belt, yo. What gives you the right to be able to challenge for the world title?
Yeah.
And also, to me, that devalues the belt that you have, because you just won it, and now you're telling me, nope, I want the bigger one. It's,
yeah.
It tells me essentially, like, yeah, this thing I'm wearing now doesn't mean shit. Whereas, at least when you had, like, WrestleMania 6, it was the Warrior had run roughshod over the mid-card and had proven, like, it's time to step up.
Yeah, and that's what you need. That's the way you need to run your secondary mid-card, whatever you want to call it, title, is there, you either bounce it around through a few people, but eventually you got to give it to a guy, and you got to have him run with it for a bit, regardless of whether it's a heel or face, and then eventually be like, I have had this title for X amount of time. I have beaten everybody, and I'm confident enough in my skills that maybe it's time to move up. But you can't do it like the week after you win a title. If he's a bad guy, I guess you can like, you can spin it in a way of like, well, I just won this title, I can probably win all of them, because you're high enough on yourself and you're smug enough to do it. But at the same time, you don't follow through with it happening. You just talk a bunch of crap. Be like, yeah, I have this title, and so because I won this title, I can probably win that title too. But then you go, and then I will prove to you that I deserve a shot at that title by holding on to this one for X amount of time.
I would say you also run the problem of that, of someone else they have in the company. I'm so good, I can win every belt.
Yes.
And we've seen that, and I would contend it even further devalues that secondary title that you have, because it just becomes one of your eight.
Yeah, and it gets reduced to a joke on the internet where they go, oh, that belt looks nice.
Wait, which one is it again? I've lost count between all of those things that are there.
Yeah.
So, let's stick with championships, Brent. Tell me about the unified title.
Okay, all right.
I'm just going to sit here, and he's just going to...
I'm going to go off about this, because this is something that has bugged me since they first announced the match. So for all, bring everyone up to speed on this. We had at All in Texas, the unification match between the international title, which was held by Kenny Omega, and the Continental Championship, which was held by Okada. And in the lead up to that match, and Keisha, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, they were saying that this was going to be the unifying match. It was going to bring both of these titles together into essentially one entity. Winner take all.
Yes.
So they debuted the belt and the unified title, and I saw it and I was like, okay, cool. Then they made an announcement at the pay-per-view that was really awkward, which was, okay, so they're going to become the unified champion. However, they will also get the other two belts and can carry them around if they want. To which my response is, why are you having a unified title match then? If you're unifying it, if you're having essentially an undisputed champion, that should be it. It should just be that. So if you look, Okada won the match. So he has the belt that features both him and Omega on it, which is the unified title, which means if anyone else wins that, it's going to be really awkward. You're just carrying around two other people's gimmicks. But if you look on the AEW roster page, it lists Okada both as the international champion, the continental champion, and the unified champion. To which, last week I questioned Rock after the show in a very kind of, wait, does that mean someone can come up to Okada and just say, I want the international title, you're going to face me for that?
Yes.
And that, and then someone else can come up and go, I'm going to challenge you for the continental title. And then does that mean that the unified just goes away? Or is he still technically the unified? There's so much confusion about this identity. And it just means that he's carrying around three belts. And I think it's just because it's Okada. My logical brain is trying to make sense of this. And I know it's a horrible thing to try and use logic in wrestling. But it just doesn't make sense to me overall. Of like, if you have a unified title, then it's the unified title. It's the one. Now, if you ever do want to split it up, you can do like a, I don't know, best two out of three, where it's like, yes, the first fall is for the international title. The second fall is for the continental. And if you lose either of them, then the unified title is retired because you can't unify it.
Yeah.
But he's only ever defending the unified title. So I don't know what's going on.
In my head, when I was looking into this, I think basically they wanted to unify the titles, but also didn't want to completely erase the history of each one, which in my head, like, I get on one point, but on the other hand, they're not that old. So if you unify the titles, you're not like, I don't think you can unify those titles and not completely delete the history, because you can basically tell people it used to be these two titles together. Here are the champions from it. And there were not that many. And I think it would be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to have the option of carrying all three. I don't think you should have the option of having someone walk up and only challenge for one of the two unified titles. From the current standpoint and how AEW is using those belts, it seems unnecessary. From a standpoint of, wouldn't it be hilarious if you had a three-way match where one person is fighting for the international and one person is fighting for the continental, and if Okada wins, he keeps both, but if, you know, there's like two falls, one fall is for this one fall is for that one, or if that person beats Okada, they get a title. If they pin the other person, they get nothing. It'd be very weird and convoluted and kind of entertaining from just like a goofy standpoint. But in a general sense, it does not make sense as to why you're going to unify a title and still be able to vie for one of the two championships if the belts are unified. So they either need to completely unify the titles and just have a section on their site talking about, here's where the titles came from, here's who won them. It still maintains the legacy of each one. But you can't unify the title and still have each one being able to be defended independently, should you choose to, unless it's just a bunch of lip service. There's no reason for carrying around three belts. Carry around one belt. If you want to talk about the lineage of the belt, if it's defended on like a big pay-per-view, do it. Otherwise, leave it alone.
And I mean, we saw this when they unified the titles in the other area. They created one belt, the big gold version of it. And it's like, that's what you carried around. That's what you won. Eventually, they would split and have a world title on the other brand. Get that. But yeah, it like I said, and not that I anticipate anyone like challenging for the one, because like I said, they've made it known essentially that it's like, it's the, you know, people are challenging for the unified title. But again, as I contend, if that's the case, then the other two belts need to go away. He carries the one. The fact that you just have Callis carrying around three, it devalues all three of them, because it becomes, okay, so those two don't matter, but he's still going to carry them around as a prop. What's the point?
Yeah.
But like I said, the chaotic part of me really does want to see someone come out and it's just like, you know, the international title has a, you know, a long lineage and I'm going to fight for that. And I would just love to see Callis be like, all right, hang on, you can't really. And then someone come out for the Continental and watch him be like, you can't really do that. And then they play the clip of like, oh, these belts can be, you know, these belts are not fully unified. It's just two individual titles. And watch him go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a great moment where Okada all of a sudden has to be like, wait, I have to wrestle twice?
Yeah. Or like even a standpoint of, oh, you want a shot at the unified belt? That's fine. And they go, no, 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 no. That is not what I said. I just want that one. And then having it be like, you can't do that. And have someone else be like, actually, he can. Well, and then, yeah, the like freak out. I'm with you. There's a part of me that wants to see that chaos, because I would find that very entertaining television.
Well, and then from everyone knows, I'm a stickler for the rules. My question would be, okay, if you're fighting for the Universal or the Unified title, is that under the Continental rules? Because those are very specific about a certain time limit, no outside interference, no one allowed at ringside. And it's like, okay, what if you did the 2 out of 3 fall? And all of a sudden it was, okay, the first fall is the international. Does that mean that someone can interfere? And then as soon as that fall is over, it's just like, everyone clear the fuck out. It's time for the Continental match. And watch them be like, oh, we didn't anticipate this.
Yeah.
Callis is like, I can't be here?
I want to be a fly on the wall of the room when they, like, if they did that, I would just love to be witness to that planning process and how they did it.
Because I would be full chaos, but I would plan it just like that. Of like, all right, we'll have our first bit of the match, it's going to be this, and then they play up that, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it will probably come across really bad or really awkward, but I would just think it would be hilarious if, like, the announcers have to be like, oh, this is now Continental rules, which means everyone has to clear the ring and it's only allowed this. And then, like, the realization hits for the participants and it's like, oh, okay now.
Yeah, I think just like you, there's a tiny part of me that would love to witness that.
But that also plays into this whole idea of like, okay, if he's got three belts that he's carrying, in addition to all the other titles that we've got in AEW, I will include the ROH ones, because those are defended fairly decently on AEW TV.
Well, it's because the rosters are the same.
Well, I get that, but remember, the whole contention was that Ring of Honor would be its own kind of product.
Yeah. But
we've got Athena, the Ring of Honor World Women's Champion, the Forever Champion, having her belt on TV and having to defend it. You've got your Ring of Honor World Champion, who's now a tag team title holder. There's a shit ton of belts with it, and I get that, you know, WWE has a ton of belts with it as well, but at least the Ring of Honor, or at least the NXT ones, are primarily kept on NXT. If you see an NXT wrestler come onto the main show, it's very much, they're up here to challenge for whatever. Or if it's like a Roxanne Perez when she did it, it's, you knew she was on her way up. And so that belt was not going to last on her long.
Yeah, the closest thing that they might have from a crossover is NXT and the TNA partnership. But even then, they do not have near as many belts because they don't have trios titles.
Yes, and now there's a new set of belts as of Wednesday.
Yes, which...
Those belts, I
don't 100% mind that they have women's tag team belts, because they have a lot of talented women on those shows. And as long as they are giving the TV time for an extra set of titles for those women, I don't mind having it. But if history has shown anything, it was hard for them to program with two women's singles titles, let alone adding tag titles into the mix. So I really hope maybe this means it is a pivot to get more profile on women and their storylines.
That's a big ask.
Yes. Because that roster is full of talent, whether you look at men or women. So, like, introducing those titles, in theory, is, in my mind, cool. I'm looking forward to, hopefully, fingers crossed on every single level, and this is me putting it out in the universe. Please, 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 if you are going to have more titles for women, that better mean more TV time for the women's division. You can't add titles and give them the same amount of screen time. Otherwise, it just becomes as useless as having a unified title so you can carry three belts around and still be able to defend each one individually in theory.
And I would also add to that, not just afford them the screen time, afford other women the opportunity.
Yes.
Because I'll just say this right now, I do not want Mercedes Moné anywhere near the women's tag titles. I don't want Chris Statlander in currently, as she is now, anywhere remotely close to the women's tag titles. I get that some people are like, oh, she can tag with Willow Nightingale. She should not be a double champion. There's no point in having a women's title if you're going to just put it on someone who already has a belt.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. Do I enjoy the stuff that Statlander and Harley Cameron are doing together? Yeah, super entertaining. But you just put that strap on Statlander, you're going to have to put that, them vying for those tag belts, on the back burner. Unless you're going to involve them in it and not have them go all the way, I'm okay with that. But I don't want any female singles champion to have the tag titles for sure.
Goes for you, 100%. Athena.
Yes.
I understand you have Billy.
Listen, I'm a big fan of Athena's Forever Championship and her Minions thing. It's great TV. Stay away from the titles. Give it to a team that maybe can use a profile, like the
Anna Jay
Triangle.
And Tate Mello.
Yeah, that's a good team. The
Triangle of Madness.
Triangle of Madness. Yeah, that was the one I was trying to say. Cool. Give them titles if they wanna. If they wanna do like a any of the three can defend at any time thing between them. Cool. If they don't, that's fine too. There's a lot of great pairs. You could give it to Megan Bain and why can't I remember her name right now? Yeah, Penelope Ford. Give them tag titles. That will give, you know, Megan Bain's domination a little bit more behind it. Cool.
She fell off, okay, didn't she?
She did, but like at the same time, like the whole reason they put Penelope Ford with her is so that Megan Bain could take some losses as a team and not lose the fact that she's still pretty much undefeated as a singles wrestler. Cool. Give them tag titles. Give them a higher profile. Get that train back on the tracks. Cool with me. But like, yeah, like you say, if you are going to introduce those titles, do not give it to anybody who already has a singles one or anybody who has 602 singles belts and doesn't have enough body real estate to carry them all.
I would also contend one other name should probably not be anywhere near the women's tag titles. Toni Storm.
Yes.
Simply for the fact of she has been dominating the division for a while, and it's like, she just lost a belt to Statlander. She's probably going to take some time off. Totally cool. I think you need to cool her off a bit.
She's on television on Wednesday. She's back.
Fuck.
She returns to Hollywood, Florida, is the graphic I saw today. Yeah.
Well, shit.
The phrase that you guys have to put out there, meaningful TV time.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if it's relegated to 5 minutes on Collision, that's not meaningful TV time.
No.
No, it's not featuring a championship or anything along those lines.
If you want to be different than WWE, because that's been the complaint, what they do with the women's tag titles, or did, because they're doing a better job with it, make it feel meaningful. And if you're relegating to 5 minutes on Collision, they're not any better than what WWE is doing with women's tag titles.
Agreed. But they do have, they've got a lot of like great pairings that they can do something with a women's tag title in AEW. So like I said, happy they have them. It'll be great to profile some of the pairings that they have of great wrestlers, but they got to give them the time.
And don't do whatever they did in ROH with what was the belt?
Oh, the championship?
The women's pure championship. You say there's a belt and then here's a tournament that doesn't come for 6 to 8 weeks after the fact. After the finals, you were announcing a
tournament 3 weeks before the event, and then went, "Oh shit, we don't have time for this." Pivot.
Yeah,
and you can't blame injuries, because you look at the people in the tournament bracket. You could have gone away with a tournament. Injuries is a bad excuse when you have a roster of talent.
That was just poor planning. That was absolutely poor planning.
But the problem is with these women's tag titles. And you TV time. You look at Dynamite. They get one women's match. Lucky if they get
at
two.
At the 7 o'clock hour, or whatever, the 10 o'clock hour East Coast.
You got to find time. And it's going to take away from the men.
But the only way you're going to expand that division is to give them time, give people a way to feel invested in it, so that it will become... Because I understand Tony's whole thing. This dates back to the Thunder Rosa announcement. Who was it that vacated their title before her? The men? Was it Moxley who got hurt? Or Punk?
One of them.
I think it was Punk who got hurt. And he got to go out on TV and had like a 5-minute promo about, like, I'm injured, but I'm going to come back and get this belt back. And Thunder Rosa got 1 minute backstage, essentially saying, like, I can't defend this title. There will be an interim. And the reason behind it was Tony went, well, the ratings aren't there. That's why we didn't put her out there. And it's like, you didn't give her a chance. You didn't give the division a chance to do that. You simply saw one or two metric and went, well, not worth it. And if you do that, you're never going to set this division up to be good. And as much as people are saying, like, wow, the women's division is stacked, Brock, like you talked about, there's only one or two chances you get between a match and maybe a run out or a backstage promo that lets the division have a shot. And if you're giving them only that, yeah, they're not going to succeed.
Final topic for tonight, blood and guts. The women get
it. You're going to talk about that one as opposed... I thought you might have gone for the second one on there.
No, I want to do... Because the other one can... There's longevity on that one.
That's blood true, because they've proven it.
Yeah, blood and guts. The women get it. How do we think this fills out? When do we think we get to see it?
We know four participants in theory.
Which
are? Possibly five.
Three on one side, one on the other.
well, I knew that. But
possibly five.
Who's your fifth?
Queen Aminata.
Yeah.
Oh, Queen Aminata. Okay, I'll give you that, because she's feuding with Thecla.
Well, and she rolled in and made the save to Hater on Collision, so
right.
there is a chance that she joins Hater's team.
Which, this is going to be really bad of me to say. If you're doing your first ever Blood and Guts, I don't know if Queen Aminata would quite be on my roster.
No, but just because she's sort of embroiled with...
Oh, no, absolutely. I think in this moment, absolutely she makes sense. I'm saying when we look back in the annals and go the first ever women's blood and guts match, and you see Queen Aminata as part of it, you kind of go, huh? Only because, as we just talked about, she hasn't really been given a lot of feature/time on screen. I mean, hell, when she got signed to AEW, I think she was in the midst of a losing streak. Like, they were hyping her up as a big deal, but she had lost like 3 or 4 matches, and then they put up the Queen Aminata is all elite graphic, and it was kind of like, huh? Okay. But I also know she does a lot of stuff with, like, Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Now, with the talent involved, is this a Collision special for Blood and Guts?
It shouldn't be. If you are doing women's Blood and Guts, it needs to be given the same overall treatment as the men's match. It needs to be the feature match of a Dynamite.
Ratings-wise, that's a rough one.
I understand that, but as I talked about, the only way you're going to elevate this division is by giving them a chance. And this is one of those things of, if you're putting them out there to... And we've said this about War Games, where the only way the women's match can be taken seriously is if they look at the men's match and go, you're going to have to get on our level. And go out and set the damn bar. Now, does this mean that we need all 10 women to be bleeding in the match? No, because that's where it's probably going to go. It's going to be like forks and staples and other weird shit, because it's a blood and guts match and we have to have everyone bleed. That's what I've learned. But if you want the women to have a stake in it, you need to put some name talent in it, and you need to have them look at whatever has been done and go, we want to top whatever match has been there in terms of people looking back and going, shit, that was good.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if it's the Triangle of Madness and Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata and, I don't know, Mina Shirakawa and Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, and I guess like Anna Jay and Ty Mello, just to throw out people. If that is your blood and guts women's match,
yeah,
it's going to fail. Because you look at that and you're like, there's no star power. They don't want to put anyone of note in. It's like, they just want to have a blood and guts match and say, hey, look, the women have one. It needs to be like, and I know I just said they need to cool her off, but it's like, if you're going to have this kind of thing, like Toni Storm's name needs to be associated with it. She needs to be a feature name.
I was going to mention her. She needs to be the face of it.
That's, I think, if they're going to put her in the blood and guts match, I don't mind putting her in there, because you can have her in there.
No, you need her.
Yeah, but, and then that kind of gives her a reason to sort of stay away from the singles title run for a bit if she kind of gets involved in that whole thing. So if you're going to not give Toni Storm cool off time or anything like that, that is the play.
I'm looking something up really quickly, scrolling down. Okay. I know that she's kind of paired with someone, but honestly, she's not a high value name, but Harley Cameron probably needs to be involved from an entertainment standpoint and from a fact of like, she would be willing to take some bumps in a cage match.
If fully cleared, yeah. You can put her in
there. Yeah, if she's able to go, I would put her there, and I would use it as a way of trying to make her. I hate to say this, looking at the roster, though, there's not a lot of names that I go, if you put them in a blood and guts match, I would be like, I'm intrigued. I mean, I think Willow Nightingale being in there could help it, because she's also a former TNT champion, or TBS champion, sorry, I keep screwing up the networks. But it's like, if you have her and Storm in there, I feel it adds some name value to it. Maybe Ishida, if she's ready to come back.
No.
Or able to with Visa.
No, she's not relevant enough.
True, she has been away for a while. Shit.
You need a strong heel. You have, it's what, Julia Hart, Sky Blue, who's the Dekla. Third of the, Dekla is the third of the trio?
Yeah, the Toxic Spider.
So that's the triangle. You need a heel, a top heel.
But who, okay, if you look up the women's roster right now, who is your top heel?
Don't put her in the match. Your top heel is the one who has every belt. You don't put her in.
Right, you can't put her in the match, because also, I hate to say this, I would be worried that she would not make it out of the match. And it doesn't fit her character to be in a blood and guts match. She would look at that and go, there's nothing in it for me.
The person definitely wants to be in it, because She wants to do, that's her deal. The character shouldn't be in it.
Oh no, yeah, the character, the way that the boss, or I'm sorry, the CEO is portrayed, it's just, she would look at this match and go, no. But, like you said, actual Mercedes would be like, put me in the goddamn match.
Alright, let me ask this question, because I don't know. Athena, heel, babyface?
It's who?
Athena.
Heel. She's absolutely a heel.
If she's cleared, Athena leading the Triangle of Madness with...
And then you throw Billy in there?
I'm looking.
Because I would say you could have Billy Stark, because there's the natural pairing with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you do them. Athena would be your Athena would be your top heel, taken with the Triangle of Madness, who two of them have history of being upper mid-card heels.
One of them a former champion.
Yeah, as a pairing they work, and... And Thekla, whatever.
Thekla yeah. is the Thekla. Yeah, she's
the she would be the fourth, and the fifth would be Billy.
Billy Stark. Or
you take and then you take Hayter, Storm,
Aminata.
Maybe Aminata.
Unless you do something to write her off.
You can do something. You have them take her out and put like you put Alex Windsor in there.
Windsor. I have a horrible idea, Rob.
Willow. But Willow's in the other stories. No, maybe bring Thunder Rosa back?
That's not who I was thinking.
Who were you thinking?
They're trying to write out her contract, but if you want name value, if you want someone that you could throw out there to elevate a match.
DMD.
It's been, what, a year?
Yeah, they're basically just writing her out until her contract is up. The last bit we saw her was giving lip to the professor, Serena Deeb, about no one cares while she stood in the ring.
Yeah, so, but she has no value at this point.
She doesn't, but if you announce her name, she will get an instant reaction, and she does have the history of being a champion and every... I think she could come out, and instantly people would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it makes no logical
sense.
So I'm trying
also,
to
there's no chance in hell it would be her, because it means you would have to use her, and she's not happy.
All right, so Babyface is what, Tony... Tony Hayter, Queen Aminata, Windsor, and Harley?
I would put Harley in there.
And that would be, because Harley gets Billy, and there's your comedy. Athena and Tony have history. So that's your tie-in to get them all together. That's why Tony would make sense, because she has history with Athena.
Yeah, and Athena would want retribution on the fact of Tony got the one up on her and kept her from winning the world title.
And that's the most value you can get if you can get this on Dynamite, and I hope they get it to Dynamite.
It absolutely needs to be on Dynamite. If it's anything less than that, then I hate to say it, there's no point in doing it. If you're not going to give it the same level that you would the men, then you're submarining your division, because you're instantly saying it's not up to the level. Don't expect it.
So we'll see what they do.
Yeah.
But we're done.
AEW took us an hour and a half. Oh, wow.
And Brent had more topics.
Depending on if Tim is here next week.
Next week, we'll be back live for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio to preview Crown Jewel, I think.
Hang on.
Let's go to the calendar. I have a calendar. We'll tell you what we're doing next week.
Next week,
according to my calendar, we're doing a preview of Crown Jewel on WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah, because it's Saturday, or I'm sorry, a week from this upcoming Saturday is Crown Jewel.
Yeah. So that's what we'll be doing next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. But tomorrow night, it's the Raw post show. Whenever Raw ends, which this week I think it's 9:30. Yeah, this week it's 9:30-ish p.m. Eastern. We'll talk Monday Night Raw on the Raw post show. Thursday night, it's Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, CB Radio, live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. As mentioned, we'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, previewing Crown Jewel. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's at Flames Forums. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Casey has a social media platform he owns and operates once a year.
Yes, about once, maybe twice if I'm feeling frisky. You can find me posting things on social media, Kyle Driver.
Brian has socials.
Yeah, you can find me on my various socials, either Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. I tend to post about various wrestling stuff, and sometimes I have opinions that make me friends.
Chat, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gamer Support Channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. Click the banner down below as well. A couple of them just do the thing. And if you have, you can use Career Code Rocket Talk in the Fortnite item shop when you buy the Batmobile, Daft Punk, and more, because hashtag Epic Partners. There's a new Battle Pass coming on over the weekend for OG, so you can do that too. All the things. Hashtag Epic Partner. But we'll see you next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Long Day Wars of the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live right here at wildtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
wildtalkradio.com.